The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. I'm the Deputy Executive Director for the Nassau-Suffolk School Board Association. And we like this show because you get to hear about all the things that are happening in districts across Long Island. And listen, schools are open, students are attending, and we're not hybrid. We're back to business somewhat normal, the new normal. But we'd like to welcome a first-timer to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. It's the Valley Stream 30 School District, located up in Nassau County. They're actually an elementary school district system that feeds a central high school system, kind of unique in New York. And, well, if anything is going to be unique, it's going to happen on the island first. And we're pleased to be joined by the superintendent of schools for Valley Stream 30, Dr. John Sterling. Dr. Sterling, welcome. I know we have a couple Johns that we're going to talk to. Dr. Sterling, welcome to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. And I've been asking my guests, I hope everything is going well, both for yourself professionally and personally, through these trying times. And hopefully the light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train, and we really are getting to the end of this. Welcome to the Spotlight on Long Island Schools.
Thank you so much for having us all.
So tell us a little bit about Valley Stream for our listening audience. This station is located out in central Suffolk County, if you will. So some folks may not be familiar with what a central high school system is and how there's only elementary districts. So explain a little bit about Valley Stream and the makeup of the communities you serve.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, the Valley Stream 30 School District is known as the Friendly Schools. And with that said, we're a district that values relationships. We care about each other. We support each other. We work collaboratively with each other. We're the friendly schools because we're inclusive. And I would also say that we're the friendly schools because we embrace diversity. Diversity is something that we see as a strength, and we celebrate it and build upon it. We're a small school district, about 1,500 students. About 40% of our student population is African-American, 30% about Hispanic, 25% Asian, 5% white. We have new immigrants. Second language in our district most spoken is Spanish, followed by Urdu. 45% of our students are on free and reduced lunch. 8% is about ELL, 12% special ed. And we are a pre-K for the first time this year through sixth grade in the Valley Stream School District. And as you said, we are one of three elementary school districts in the Valley Stream area feeding into the Central High School. We border Queens, and we have a lot going on in our district as it relates to education and preparing our kids not only for secondary school, but for life overall. We've accomplished a great deal over the last couple of years, receiving numerous awards and recognitions both at the local and state level. Most recently featured as a school district that succeeds, breaking the correlation between race, poverty, and that was written by Karen Chenowitz of the Ed Trust Foundation. And it is a book focused on the good works that we've been doing over the last several years.
Oh, congratulations. I mean, that is a lot to be proud of. And listen, with the population that you described earlier, I come from a high needs, diverse school district out east. So ENL and some of the issues of socioeconomic challenges on a smaller scale does present some unique challenges. Talk to us about when you were getting set to open this September, because last September was like a September nobody in education has seen. I don't care how long you've been around. But this September proved to be a little less challenging or less new. Let's put it that way. What were some of the things, what were some of your main priorities with opening this coming September, keeping with your traditions of diversity and embracing it? What were some of the newer things or some of the things you hope to reinstitute with your opening this year?
Well, I would say that first and foremost, it's always about health and safety based on the environment that we're currently in. But at the same time, we were a little different this year opening, having had the year behind us of being virtual as well as hybrid. And we were very focused on making sure that we not only transitioned back into all of our kids back in school, but we were focused on the educational program of our students. So there was a real concerted effort to make sure that we had a transition, but at the same time, looking very specifically at the curriculum and what we're offering students. Jennifer Luner, our assistant superintendent for curriculum, is with us here today. One of the things that I had asked in terms of our partnership and work was that we focus on the work at hand, which is educating our kids. So Jennifer can speak a little bit to some of the initiatives that we definitely wanted to focus on going back into 2021-22 school year. Jen?
Thank you, Dr. Sterling. So what's so interesting about this pandemic is we were actually in the process of redoing our five-year strategic plan when the pandemic hit. So we developed our strategic plan with our goals in mind of diversity, equity, and inclusivity. And while health and safety has been a number one priority over the last 18 months for our students and for our staff, we really did focus this summer and bring it back to what we set forth in this five-year strategic plan. And taking a look at that, that includes meeting the needs of all of our diverse learners in our school district. So it means taking a look at our curriculum resources. What are the texts that we're providing? What does the questioning look like for students that accompanies the text that we're providing? What do assessments look like? Assessments aren't just about getting a score for a student, but really giving students the opportunity to demonstrate proficiency and mastery and going back and giving that opportunity to them. Something that we have done for a number of years now is our arts and education and our annual themes that we run. And even through the pandemic, we continue to have our annual arts and education theme. This year is our Let's Move Again theme. So our themes do focus around visual arts, movement, music, digital arts, theater. So we're very excited to have that back in motion. And even though it's a movement activity, we're being very cognizant of safe and social distancing and still utilizing a great deal of the digital platforms that our teachers and students have learned so much about during the pandemic. In addition to that, we are really looking at the different types of programming and opportunities we're able to offer students. So we have an Enrichment for All program that we kicked off actually also in the year of the pandemic, and we're really looking to revitalize that this year. So Enrichment for All provides an opportunity for all of our students, whether they are achieving above grade level or they're struggling, they may have an IEP. Every student in our district is afforded an opportunity for an Enrichment for All opportunity that really prepares them for a 21st century and taking a look at coding and applications.
Yeah, you know, you try to explain to some people that elementary kids are tackling coding, and it's a hard concept for, I guess, a certain age group of us to understand, because I don't even know if I could tackle coding now. My question for you is, I know there's been certain studies that have come out post the pandemic, and as kids have returned to school, certain classroom management issues have manifested that haven't before. With the arts and education and the Let's Move Again initiative, do you find this has a positive impact with kids who may be either hyped up or dealing with some stressors from home or stressors with themselves because of all that has gone on almost the last 2 years? Do you see a correlation with helping with classroom management along those lines?
Well, I think what was so nice about some of the curriculum work we did over the summer in preparation for this, it wasn't just our PE department that organized this. We had classroom teachers across grade levels sitting in, so they're providing input to what's happening in the classroom to develop these activities. So while our PE team, they're leading a great deal of activities when students leave the classroom and go to the gymnasiums, they're also pushing out activities that can take place in the classroom. So along the lines, Bob, of what you're saying, as far as having almost an outlet for students in the classroom, it's definitely been something our students look forward to.
Great. And Dr. Sterling, question for you on, you know, being in the elementary school district. Talk to us about the alignment and the preparation as your sixth graders leave your system and go into the Central High School. What is some of the priorities that you have to make sure that the kids coming out of Valley Stream 30 are ready for the next step after sixth grade?
Well, we are an elementary district, and we do align and collaborate with the Central High School district in preparation for the transition from sixth to seventh grade. Looking you know, just beyond seventh grade, we are very concerned about our kids being prepared to be technologically proficient in the future. So that's why we spend a great deal of time integrating technology and having them become a part of the process where they are hands-on, continually learning different ways to use the technology. Personal learning has been a major focus for us over the last couple of years in regards to preparing them for the middle school experience. We align because we're a standards-based, we have a standards-based curriculum, so we align with what is happening at the central high school level. But with that said, we are also very much looking at our math and science curriculum very specifically because that's where we really see the future. So we talked a little bit about coding, robotics, looking at science, making it fun and creative. I think Mr. Singleton or Mr. Colarossi can share a little bit about that.
So it's definitely a district that focuses on STEAM, right? With the arts and education and the science, technology, engineering, math. And when we come back from the break, we're going to learn about a taste of service and some of the initiatives for the math and science. We're speaking with the folks from Valley Stream 30 School District, and you're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and out on the web at linewsradio.com. And we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. Check out our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. That's your place to go suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are involved in. And your district may be the next one right here in our spotlight. We are continuing our conversation with Valley Stream 30 School District up in Nassau County that covers part of Queens and has an elementary school system that feeds a central high school system. And we've been talking about their DEI initiatives, diversity, equity, inclusion, and arts and education, which is so critically important, and how it all builds a very rich and, of course, known as the friendly school district and gets them ready for the next steps beyond Valley Stream. But at the break, a thing called Taste of Service is a big program that has been around in the district for a little bit. So I'm interested to learn about this. And well, Mr. Colarossi, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we were talking offline here, you were the one that came up with the name Taste of Service. So is that accurate?
Yeah, Bob, thanks so much.
Tell us all about how you came about the name and then what the Taste of Service is all about.
Yeah. So at District 30, we believe wholeheartedly in inclusivity and transparency. And the Taste of Service Family Fair, which is now in our seventh year, originated from the idea that our families really should be familiar with everything we have to offer their children. We realize that we provide a plethora of programs, techniques, and supports in the forms of core curriculum, interventions, and enrichment. This evening provides our entire community the opportunity to experience these wonderful services in small, manageable, tasteful servings. So what it looks like, Bob, is a street fair, okay? So think of a huge, wonderful science fair where the teachers and specialists come prepared with these interactive, visually appealing booths. And each booth represents one of the amazing programs, services, enrichment, supports that we provide each and every one of our students. For instance, some titles include all aspects of balanced literacy, from guided reading to independent reading and shared reading. Our Tier 2 and Tier 3 reading and math services, from Wilson, LLI, visualizing and verbalizing. Our different co-teaching approaches, from parallel teaching to station teaching and so on. Mental health, growth mindset, interactive speech and language techniques, fostering language development for our ENL students. So once again, the families have an opportunity to walk around, take as much or as little as they'd like, similar to the Ed Camp belief of kind of picking up and moving on as you feel fit. But again, the most important piece of this, Bob, is that not only are we highlighting what goes on behind the scenes each and every day at the school. But our goal for Taste of Service is really to provide our families the strategies, the materials, and really the confidence to duplicate some of the work that we do in the schools back at home.
So it's a huge parental engagement initiative. And of course, you have to have that strong connection with the parents and the families of the kids that you serve. And one of the reasons we do this show is to let folks know what programs and services are happening in their schools. So many people don't realize, like you said, a lot of the behind the scenes. And I would have to imagine Mr. Colarossi is the principal of Shore Elementary School, I should mention. I got that correct, right? With the E&L families that you serve, I guess parental engagement is even more of a priority to make sure that you can establish that communication and, more importantly, establish that trust, right? Because it's easy to communicate, so to speak, language-wise, but it's the trust that's important.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. And even on a night like that and all of our other events, whether in person or virtual, we're always providing translations, always providing a helping hand. We actually have language ambassadors at each of the three buildings. Many times they're parents, PTA members, who help translate many of our documents as well as join in on the meetings to provide that support as well.
That's great. And Mr. Singleton is the principal of Clearstream Elementary. Is that correct? Over in Valley Stream. Yeah. So what are some of the benefits of a Taste of Service that you see directly pouring into the classrooms beyond maybe the initial goals? What are some of the things that you see positively impacting the children's learning in your schools?
Well, you know, Valley Stream District 30 is preparing students to become 21st century learners. So that means we're looking at developing their critical thinking, their creativity, their communication skills, and the collaboration with their peers. And so one of my favorite booths at Taste of Services is speech services and allowing the speech teacher to speak directly with the parents so that parents can assist their students in pronouncing certain words or going through certain drills so that they could practice. Teachers. So what really Taste of Services does is it bridges that gap between the community and the school districts so that we can bring everybody together and everyone's on the same page.
All right. And Ms. Malone, you are the principal over at Forest Road Elementary. Did I get that correct?
Yes, you did.
All right. Okay. Again, we were talking offline and I was going to think of a trailer manufacturer, but in your building as well with Taste of Service, again, How do you, the three of you, make sure that what is happening in the buildings is kind of aligned? And talk to us about some of the other services that are priorities in your buildings as well.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think what my colleagues have already shared is this night really runs the gamut of all the services that are available, whether they be remedial services or enrichment services. And I think, you know, much like when you go into the supermarket and you're going up and down the aisles and you're kind of browsing around to see what's of interest to you, this is a really, really neat way for our families to be engaged in what's happening within the schools that they might not be aware of. So if you don't have a child who has a reading difficulty, you might not know too much about the reading supports within a school. It's really, really important for District 30 to make sure that there's an accessibility point for all of our families so that that inclusivity that we've been speaking about tonight really does come through for all of our families, not just specific populations of students. So the Taste of Service really allows for parents to come in and be actively engaged with what's going on. It brings the education and the educational supports to them so that they can see it in real time, in real life with our specialists. And I would say over the last 7 years, that event becomes bigger and better every single year under the guidance of Dr. Schimpf and Mr. Colarossi. But what's the most exciting part of that, Bob, is the turnout that we get from our families and the buy-in that we get from our staff members who want to showcase what they're doing for our students. And I think that when we talk about DEI, that really does represent what our district is trying to promote and the philosophy that we have at heart, that it's whatever your student needs. So all is not the same. We want to make sure that we have different access points for all of our students.
Yeah. And how did you pivot this in-person event with high level of participation and engagement. Talk to us about, and I left a tough question for you, Ms. Malone, on purpose. How did you pivot to the virtual world?
So we actually did very, very well last year in setting up different rooms for our parents to go to. By the time that we ran this in March of last year, our families had been widely exposed to our Zoom meetings and our Google Meets. We were able to have families do much like an ed camp would be, that you can go in and you can hang out in a room for a little while. And if it's not really speaking to you, you can hop in to another room. Our presenters were really engaged in terms of making sure there was a hands-on and interactive component for families to be able to have a dialogue. I will say, Dr. Sterling wants to jump in. Oh, I will say that we do believe that a conversation is two ways. So we never really want to just present information to families. We want for our families to be able to be active participants in the dialogue. I was able to sit in on several of those sessions last year, and I thought that our staff did an amazing job in not only dealing with some technical difficulties, of course, as every time you do something like that, there's going to be something that goes wrong, but promoting families to talk in the chat room, to make sure that they were getting their questions answered, to give parents the opportunity to talk to each other about what they had just learned. Everything was made to be so interactive, and it mimicked so much what we would do in real time in our cafeteria at Shore Avenue, as we've done before. I was very, very impressed with the team.
Okay. Sounds great. And Dr. Sterling, you got a lot to be proud of with this district here.
Very proud. But behind all of what Mrs. Malone stated, what is clear also is that it's not just enough to understand what services are available, but the fact is that there's an equity issue at hand, because not everyone is going to get every single service. It depends on the needs of the individual. And when we think about equity, we have to think about time. And I know Ms. Luner has worked with the principals and administrative staff on the issue of time and equity over the last couple of years, and we have a unique program that speaks to how we deliver services throughout our school day.
Well, speaking of time, we're going to have to pick this conversation up next week, because we're just about out of time. We want to thank the folks from Valley Stream School District number 30, and we are going to have them back, because we've only begun to scratch the surface of everything that they're doing in this award-winning school district. And you're going to hear more next week. Thanks for tuning in to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Once again, catch us out on the web at linewsradio.com. See you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.